In our text for today, there are two words we don't use very much, advocate and propitiation. What do these words mean, and how do they relate? Think about this as you listen to the words for our text for this morning from 1 John chapter 2, 1 through 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Please be seated. Dear Christian friends, does that first verse strike you as a little bit shocking? Martin Luther thought so. When he studied this sentence from John, he said, "He who can make this text intelligible to us should be called a theologian." It does seem a little bit of a strange thing to say, doesn't it? To say, "I write to you that you may not sin." What is John's point here? After all, doesn't everyone sin? What does he mean? Well, to understand what John is saying here, we first have to understand the whole point of his epistle. In this epistle, John is writing against the two chief lies Christians tell themselves. That first lie is this: as a Christian, I don't sin. In other words, because I'm a Christian, I've already reached a state of perfection. Now, I hope we all recognize this as a lie. I hope at a Lutheran school where we're reminded constantly of the dangers of works righteousness and depending on ourselves, that we nod approvingly to what John says and what he says before the text comes in chapter 1. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So that's the first lie. And the second lie is different. As a Christian, it doesn't matter if I sin. In other words, because I'm a Christian, or even though I'm a Christian, I can go on sinning just as I have before. Now, just as with that first lie, I hope all of us recognize the second lie for what it is as well. But I wonder if sometimes we don't take it as seriously. When John says a few verses later in chapter 2, "He who says, 'I know him,'" that is God, "he who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him," do we nod with as much approval at that statement of John? Or do we try to explain away these words, God's words? Now, don't get me wrong, I'd never say that anyone in this room would say sin is okay. But do we take seriously John's exhortation, "I write to you that you may not sin"? Or do we see this goal of sinning as unattainable and because of that, give up the fight? After all, I'm a sinner anyway. I belong to the right church. I know what God's word says. I belong to the right school, etc., etc. Do you see what happens when we adopt this attitude? It can start off by being a healthy self-criticism of ourselves. I'm not perfect. But it can turn into an excuse that we make. We make our status as a saint and a sinner a pretext for giving up our struggle against sin. And maybe it can even lead back to the works righteousness which we're trying to avoid. You know, I'm a sinner, but I'm not as bad a one as the next guy. You can see why Martin Luther said what he said, can't you? How can we not avoid the first lie without slipping into the second? How can we not take that second lie, avoid that, but slip back into the first? What theologian can make sense of all this? Well, I can assure you it's not the person standing right here. But fortunately, John himself in our text makes sense of all this. When you and me are struggling with questions like, how can I go on in this fight against sin? How can I not sin? How can I avoid those lies? John says, exactly. Now you get the point. Turn to your advocate in propitiation. So as I asked you at the beginning of our message, what do those words mean and how do they relate? Well, first there's advocate. Now, we might use that somewhat today. It's kind of a buzzword, actually, advocacy. Often it's associated with maybe politics, where a certain group or someone is lobbying or politicking for a certain cause or organization. Now, I think it goes without saying that those people who do that truly believe that that cause or organization is worthwhile. It would be foolish to advocate something or someone that really was not a worthy cause. But that's what Jesus does as our advocate, or as our intercessor, as we heard about on Wednesday. He advocates for possibly the least worthwhile cause imaginable, you and I. But why? Why would he advocate a lost cause like you and me? On what basis would he do this? Let's turn to that second word, propitiation. Now, while you might use the word advocacy or advocate every now and then, I'm sure none of you used the word propitiation this week, unless you were perhaps in an Old Testament course, because that's where the roots of this word are. It's in the Hebrew word kippur. It also means atonement. And that idea of propitiation is the idea of transferring the guilt and sin of something onto something else. The priests in the Old Testament did this. These priests, who are really the advocates of the people of Israel, would offer these sacrifices as propitiation, as atonement for Israel's sins and guilt. One of the most dramatic ways that this happened was on the Day of Atonement, or the day, you could translate it, the Day of Propitiation, Yom Kippur. Every year, at the climax of this day, the high priest would take a goat, lay his hands on the goat, confess the sins of the people on that goat, and send it off into the wilderness, never to return. That goat became the propitiation. So what does this have to do with you and I? What does this have to do with Jesus as our advocate? Well, imagine that one time. Instead of confessing the sins on the goat, the high priest stepped in and said, "Don't worry, I will do this. I will take the burden. I will take the sins on my shoulders. I will go out into the wilderness, never to return. And I will do this so it can be once for all, so that it will never have to be done again." Well, that's exactly what Jesus, our high priest, did for you and me. As our text says, he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the whole world. Jesus, our advocate, became the propitiation. Jesus, our high priest, became the sacrifice. And now he advocates for you and me, not because we're some worthy cause, but because of his sacrificial death on the cross, where he took our sins on him, took the burden, sent our sins out into the wilderness, never to return. So let's take John's admonition seriously. Let's strive against sin with all the power the Spirit gives us in word and sacrament. But when we sin, we can always turn to these words from John. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Please rise for prayer. Jesus, our great high priest, you offered your blood and died. My guilty conscience seeks no sacrifice beside. Your powerful blood did once atone, and now it pleads before the throne. Strengthen us in this truth, O Lord. Amen.